Sodhanandana Prajajana Ranjana. Yashodhanandana Prajajana Ranjana. Tira Vanacharya Jaya Ratha Madhava Kunja Vihari Srimad Bhagavatam ki Narayanam namaskritam Naram chaiva narotamam Devim sarasvatim vyasam Tato jayanudiraye Om namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. This text 61, I can't see. Yeah, the 61 and 62. Ta eva niyamat sakshat. Ta eva chaya mottamaha tapodanam pratam yakyo yena tushyatya dokshaja ta eva niyamah sakshat ta eva chaya mottamaha Tapodhanam bratam yaknyo Yena tushyatya dokshaja Ta eva niyamak sakshat Ta eva chayamottamaha Tapodhanam bratam yaknyo Yena tushyatya dokshaja te, that is, Eva, indeed, Niyamaha, all regulative principles, Sakshat, directly, te, that is, Eva, indeed, Cha, also, Yama Uttamaha, the best process of controlling the senses. Tapaha, austerities, Dhanam, charity, Vratam, observing vows, Yagyaha, sacrifice, Yena, by which process, Tushyati, is very pleased, Adokshaja, the Supreme Lord, who is not perceived by material senses. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. This is the best process for pleasing the transcendental Supreme Personality of Godhead, known as Adokshaja. It is the best of all regulative principles, the best austerity, the best process of giving charity, and the best process of sacrifice. Purport. The Supreme Lord says in Bhagavad Gita 1866, Sarvat harman parityaja mam ikam sharanam braja ham tvam sarva papebhyo moksha ishyami mahasuchaha. Abandon all varieties of religion and just surrender unto me. I shall deliver you from all sinful reaction. Do not fear. Unless one pleases the Supreme Personality of Godhead, according to his demand, no good result will come from any of his actions. Dharma sanustita punsam visvakse nakata suya notpadaye yadiratim shrama eva hikevalam. The occupational activities a man performs according to his own position are only so much useless labor if they do not provoke attraction for the message of the personality of Godhead. If one is not interested in satisfying Lord Vishnu, Vasudeva, all his so-called auspicious activities are fruitless. Moghasha mogha karmano mogha jnana vicheta saha. Because he is bewildered, he is bluffed in his hopes, bluffed in his activities, and he's baffled in his hopes, baffled in his activities, and baffled in his knowledge. In this regard, Srila Vishvanatha Chakravarti remarks, Napunsakam anapunsakeneti adinaikatvam. One cannot equate the potent and the impotent. Among modern Mayavadis, it has become fashionable to say that whatever one does or whatever path one follows is all right. But they are all foolish statements. Here it is forcefully affirmed that this is the only method for success in life. Ishvara tarpanam vina sarvan eva vipalam. Unless Lord Vishnu is satisfied, all of one's pious activities, ritualistic ceremonies and yajñas are simply for show and have no value. Unfortunately, foolish people do not know the secret of success. Nate vidu suartagatim hi vishnum. They do not know that real self-interest ends in pleasing Lord Vishnu. So text 62, this is the last verse. Tasmat etavratam badre prayata shradaya chara bhagavam paritushtate varan asu vidasyati. Translation: therefore, my dear gentle lady, follow this ritualistic vow, strictly observing the regulative principles. By this process, the Supreme Person will very soon be pleased with you and will satisfy all your desires. Thus end the Bhaktivedanta purport of the 8th canto, 16th chapter of the Srimad Bhagavatam, entitled Executing the Payavrata Process of Worship. Om Ajnanati Mirandasya Gyananjana Salakaya Chakshurum Militam Yena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Mukam Karoti Vachalam Pangulangayate Girim Yat Kripa Tamaham Bande Sri Gurum Dinataranam Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prestaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swamini Tinamine Namaste Sarasvasti Devi Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatyadi Shatarine Panchakalpa Tarubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhya Evacha Patita Anam Pavanevyo Vaishnavevyo Namo Namaha Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Srivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So the Payavrata process of worship, this is the chapter and we have the last two verses. And this last section is explaining how this yagya is described as Sarva Yagya, because he get the fruits of performing any other sacrifice. And Srila Prabhupada, in his purport, was explaining that this Sarva Yagya now is the Sankirtan Yagya. In other words, in itself, the process of Bhakti Yoga is being highlighted here. It's as the best process, the best Yagya. So this is the best process for pleasing the transcendental Supreme Personality of Godhead. Bhaktimana Vijanati. Bhagavad Gita Krishna is also confirmed that he is not really pleased by other method of self-realization as he is pleased with devotion, with a personal relationship with him. One may think that when scriptures or the sages are saying that this is the best process, is done with a feeling of superiority, like in here in the material world, in the society, one wants to advertise their own product at the best, because that's the way you can sell something. So you say this is the best. So the best pizza, the best computer, the best. Everyone says the best. When it comes to religion, the same. You never will find a Christian or Jehovah Witness of a Hare Krishna that will say, no, our process is not the best, but you can take the book and there are many other things that are better, but just take it. Everyone said, no, this is the best. And the consumers of religion, they are tired of hearing over and over. Every preacher, priest, monk, they come and say, this is the best process. I have here the key for happiness. And so maybe you try with all other religions, but now you come to this, and this is really, really the best. I can tell you, because I try many other things. And so when you come to Srimad Bhagavatam, now we are hearing the same. Now this is the best process for pleasing the Transcendental Supreme Personality of Godhead. But why Srimad Bhagavatam always pointing to devotional service as the best? The sages of Naimisharanya in the Srimad Bhagavatam, first canto, chapter 2, they ask a question that Sutta Goswami is answering in that chapter. It's a question about the best process. Again, what is the best? They basically, the question that they did, it sounds like, what, tell me what is the best process. We want to hear. We know what the answer is, devotional service. But the question that they are asking is not about and the best process just to establish, okay, we want to establish that this is the best. But it's a question that they are asking out of compassion. They are concerned in how people will take advantage in this age of Kali, how they can go back to Godhead. Which is the best way? Why? Because there are so many scriptures, there are so many processes described in the Vedas. The Veda has many, some compilation of so many scriptures, and there are so many processes described there that one can get very confused. So that, therefore, they were asking a question that, is there something that can be good for everyone? Not just good only for a certain class of people. Like when we have a product to sell, also sometimes it's targeted to a specific audience, a specific audience, and it will be the best for this people, it will benefit this class, but not the other class of people. So sometimes even in religion, no, they say, oh, this religion is for rich people. Yeah. Especially many yoga group, oh, this is for the rich. You have to get your yoga mat, your everything. No? Your dress as a yogi, it's very expensive to become part of this group. And then you have religion for poor people, and so rich people say, no, this religion is not for me, to giving me the opportunity to give charity, but it's not for me, the process. I don't need to pray for money. And so the sages of Naimisharanya, they are asking what can be beneficial for everyone, independent of culture, economy, finance, etc., race, what can benefit everyone. And so when Sukadeva Goswami is answering that question, he's really qualified to answer the question, because not everyone can answer a question like this, what is the best process? Most people will be biased. Okay, so if I ask you, what is the best process? So you may not know all, but you will say, okay, the process that I am practicing, that's the best. This is bias. So Sutta Goswami, when he's answering, he's not answering just because, okay, the best is the one that I am practicing. Like if you say, what is the best service? If you ask a pujari, they may say, the best service is doing puja for Krishna, because, and they will give you your realization. Sankirtan devotee would say, book distribution is the best. Like that. So we answer according to our small experience, but Sutta Goswami, he's a self-realized person, so he knows all the scriptures, all the varieties of processes, and he's recommending devotional service. And not as a religion, again, like Srila Prabhupada, presentation of Krishna consciousness is not a presentation of a religion. Many of the practitioners that joined the Hare Krishna movement, they joined because they didn't feel that they were joining to a religion, to a Hindu religion or something like that. They had this perception that they were joining to a spiritual movement that is universal. It's not about religion, putting another label. So Sutta Goswami is not answering, okay, this is the best process, and I'm putting a label, no, a name. It doesn't have a name, the religion. It's called Paradharma, the supreme occupation for every living being. This supreme occupation that Prabhupada called the Sanatana Dharma, also in the introduction of Bhagavad Gita, and that's his presentation. So it's not an institution, it's a process. So what are the characteristics of the process? So when we are reading glorification of devotional service, we can pay attention to the characteristics and see how universal are those characteristics. You can find them in other religions also. So for Dharma Sanustita Punsam Viswaksena Kata Suya, Prabhupada is quoting a verse that talks about occupational activities. Everyone have to perform some activities. So if these activities are not giving you an impetus for self-realization, if they are not helping you to remember God, then they are srama eva ikevalam. They are a waste of time. So this is a universal characteristic. What is not the best for everyone is activities that just don't bring any remembrance of Krishna, any remembrance of who you are, what you are here. So for instance, there are many rituals in the Karmakanda section of the Veda that they are just promoting, making propaganda of going to the heavenly planets. So when you are performing the yagya, you are thinking in enjoyment, in improving your situation. So it's the same when we watch propagandas, you know, in the streets, advertisements of things that are just distracting you from the goal. So you can do it, but you won't get any impetus for or remembering what is the goal of life. So therefore they are described as srama eva hi kevalam. But the question is, so which are the occupations that will give you remembrance of Krishna and how you should practice? So then the devotional service, this is described. What are the activities that will help you to remember Krishna? So there are 64 angas in devotional service. But one may ask, okay, I follow this, but then there are many other activities that do not bring any remembrance of Krishna, like going to work, in ordinary work. So that is srama eva hi kevalam. It's a waste of time because you are maybe counting money or doing the administration, any other thing. So if you want to practice the process of devotional service, then you have to practice only the 64 activities of devotional service and then give up any other activity that is a waste of time. It looks like that. And so therefore, it's, in one sense, it's simple, but it's very complex how you practice devotional service. Because that's again, this confusion will be always. But it is obvious Sometimes they answer that no, you shouldn't give up any activity, because we know in Bhagavad Gita that Krishna is advising Arjuna to continue with his dharma. At the same time, Krishna ends the Bhagavad Gita saying sarva dharman parityajana, and give up all occupation. He's a soldier. Krishna told him during the whole Bhagavad Gita that your dharma is being a soldier, and then you have to fight for me. And at the end he said, sarva dharman parityaja, now give up everything. So the practice of devotional service is a little bit complex. The philosophy is simple, but it's complex. Therefore, if you see, if you talk to devotees on a regular basis, you will see that and even new devotees who are coming and devotees who are practicing for years, they are always, sometimes they are asking themselves, you know, they are trying to adjust things. It's not that one day they understood how to practice devotional service and then they didn't have to do any more adjustment. But always they have to make new adjustments. They have a change in the job, changes in services. And those who live in temple, they go to another place, another temple, another mission, and they have to receive guidance how to practice devotional service, because it's dynamic, it's changing, because the world in which we are living is changing all the time. So the application, you have to, what was effective before in terms of your understanding and application may not be sufficient later on. The practice are the same, but the moment in which you practice, the condition, the different occupation that you have to keep on, it will force you to make changes in the way you practice devotional service. So you may chant your rounds in the morning, very early in the morning, but then you will find yourself in a situation in which you have to chant at night. And so all the time you have to make adjustments. And again, you may ask yourself, should I give up my job? And because now I am 50 years old, and then go just dedicate to preaching, or should I take a job? And I am a brahmachari, and now I should start working, or should I get married? There are so many questions always for all the practitioners. So at the same time, we are advised, here is the best process, very simple, no? Devotional service, pleasing Krishna, and these are the results. No? If you please, what happens if you practice devotional service? It's like water in the root of the tree, you know, then everyone will be satisfied. And so you can go in the street and preach that to people. And you're supposed to be fully satisfied by practicing devotional service. But when, again, why, if we are fully satisfied, why we are changing services? Why there are so many adjustments in the life of the devotees? Why the devotees, they go to Sankirtan and they want to change their service, so I am doing pujari service and then I ask, can we change? So all the time, at the same, we are making these changes. Why? So we're making changes to please more Krishna. Because we are not satisfied on our path. Sometimes we are not satisfied with it. When we stay the same. When you want to, you are doing a service, and then like Jordan is saying, you may not be satisfied, you want to change to another service. And the Navin? To get inspiration. To get more inspiration. Sometimes we don't change it. We like the service, but someone changed the service for us. We are very happy doing some service, very satisfied. And then we are asked, okay, but now, so we are doing, for example, very good book distribution. And then we're asked, now you have to stay in the temple and do pots. No, or, no, but it's the devotional service. Oh, the same. Yeah, I know, but it's not the same. So, Mitch?
Your perspectives change?
Your perspective?
Change.
So you have to adjust. How?
As your understanding of certain principles grow, you would start to understand how to apply them differently based on your level of understanding. As so you have a fundamental understanding and how to apply, then as you go deeper and deeper and deeper, and you start to say, oh, I can actually apply it here and here and here. I can change this and this and this.
So that's for the better. You get more satisfaction, you're saying, as you go deeper. Yes, so on the superficial level, there are many changes, but are we changing the process when we are changing services? The process, or when we change the service, are we changing what we are doing, the essence of what we are doing? Yeah, sir. Okay, yes. So, if devotional service brings satisfaction, savai punsam paradharmo yato bhaktir adoksajeno, to the supreme, the transcendental Lord, which is beyond the senses. So we render service to him, and then suprasidati, you know, we feel contentment, happiness. And so for feeling that happiness and satisfaction, what is required? What is the definition of pure devotional service? Jnana karmadi.
Unmotivated and uninterrupted?
Yes, uninterrupted also, yes. And which other characteristics are about devotional service? You have to be uninterrupted. Favorable, anukuliena. Yeah. Anukuliena means the intention of doing devotional service is to please Krishna, no? To please. So there are these things, they will never change. It's not like you are doing one service, okay, Jai Baladev, so now we are pleasing Krishna, but tomorrow you will do another service with displeasing Krishna. So the service is the same for everyone. It's pleasing Krishna, anukuliena. Doesn't, you may be doing books or pujari, any service, even working. It's something that is not a specific a branch of devotional service, but still the principle of anukuliena. So pleasing Krishna, who is Krishna? Who can answer that question? Yes, and what does it mean, God? It includes every other living entities? Yes, but when you say pleasing Krishna, it means that you don't care about pleasing anyone else? Yes, but it means that you please the Godhead, to say, and you don't care about anyone else? Okay. I'm also bewildered. No. Yeah. Again, very simple, no? Like the understanding, no? That if you please Krishna, you please everyone. So now, again, how do you apply? Yeah, pleasing the devotees. You can move. Yeah. Did Srila Prabhupada, with his service, please everyone? In the transcendent, in the ultimate sense, we can say yes, because he was pleasing Krishna, but everyone was pleased? That doesn't mean that he was doing something wrong? Yeah. Yeah, like some parents of devotees, they were displeased with Srila Prabhupada because he was taking the kids, for instance. But Srila Prabhupada had the understanding, you know, that I'm doing this for, like Narada Muni, I'm trying to give the maximum benefit. So in that area, like, pleasing Krishna and not pleasing someone is like a very gray area, and then sometimes you can use the, well, I'm doing for Krishna, no? So if you're not satisfied, it doesn't mean that Krishna is not satisfied, but I'm giving you the best. So in we can develop an understanding that in thinking that we are doing the maximum benefit for humanity, we may be damaging someone. Like Hiridayananda Maharaj tells the story of Harinams that he used to participate, in which he and the devotee will go to do Harinam and they won't care about anyone else, because they were under the understanding we are giving the Paradharma, we are giving the best to everyone. So people will come in front of them and they will just go. Then people have to move. So some people are, they may be disgusted because of the sound, but they just go and please Krishna. And in one sense, it's fine, he said. But in the other, like, you want to attract them to Krishna. And there are many, many aspects. So it's simple in one way, but when you have to apply, you have to understand how to apply. Like, if you are going to do Harinam, how to do it in a way that is pleasing to Krishna, but at the same time not displeasing to everyone else. And you have the idea that it's pleasing to Krishna, because in the scripture there is no way, there is no room to be wrong. If you chant the holy name, that's correct. Yeah? You are pleasing Krishna. How? Then we have to follow how the acharyas are applying this in different situations. So how Prabhupada established this, how he did it in a way that he tried to do pleasing to everyone. Like, devotional service is supposed to be pleasing to everyone. This is one of the characteristics of devotional service. It's to please Krishna and to very pleasing to, attractive to everyone. And so, for instance, what Srila Prabhupada did to please Krishna in a way that is pleasing to others in a practical way, in terms of Harinam, for instance, or in terms of Prasadam. I'm asking. Yes. Yeah, for instance, he engaged men and women. So what is the connection with pleasing everyone? Like, everyone can participate. Yeah. Yeah, that's another aspect in which the devotional service is for everyone. That would be, that there is no limitation. Rakta Prabhu?
Do all bhakti sampradayas have the same spiritual potency?
Can you help?
Do all sampradayas have all the potency?
But the four sampradayas, they are all bona fide. So the Rudra sampradaya, the Sri sampradaya, the Kumara. But I'm sorry.
all are bona fide, and the one that is active, more active, in the same in terms of distributing the knowledge, is the Madhva or Brahma Madhva Gaudiya Sampradaya. We have for Narada Muni is the Sampradaya that is spreading the knowledge, but regarding the potency, it's coming from Krishna. The four are bona fide. The Sri Sampradaya is a bona fide Sampradaya. And you have all the, Krishna put all the Shakti, like Ramanuja Acharya, very powerful. Acharya, we cannot say we has mother, which Sampradaya has more Shakti in itself, because it's not about, again, we will understand that as a material, which is best, which is not best. But we, nowadays in Chicago, you can say how many the different Sampradaya, what they are doing for helping others to change their hearts. You know? So it's not a Sampradaya is always effective. The one who have to, what we will maybe measure is the practitioner, if they're representing the Sampradaya. And it's, if you are representing the Sri Sampradaya or the Brahma Sampradaya, if you're following everything, and then you are able to pass the message without yoga nashta, without interruption, without adulteration. And I was asking this question of how Srila Prabhupada presented the Harinam, because we were talking about how to, like, it should be pleasing to Krishna. It's very simple, so you just go and chant. It's very simple. But why Srila Prabhupada, he took too much time to, for instance, to train Yamuna Devi, that she had a lot of talent in music, and Mukunda Maharaj Gurudas, before going to London. Now he trained them in the kirtan, in the different style and rhythms of kirtan, how to keep the tempo slow, then speed up a little bit. So if you read the 26th Avenue from Mukunda Maharaj and the biography of Yamuna Devi, they explain how Srila Prabhupada trained them to do kirtan in a specific way that will be attractive. And so you can see that, again, the principle is simple, but the application may be complex. Srila Prabhupada wanted to present, for instance, Harinam in a specific way. And you will find another group of Vaishnavas that will present in another way. Like that. And all this to, for what? For attracting people to Krishna, to make it more pleasurable. Again, with prasadam. No? Like the other day when the devotee, we have a chile, no? So chile is prasadam, and you cannot deny that. No? See, if you cannot eat a chile, but if you say this is not prasadam, that's incorrect. It's prasadam. But why are you not taking the, why are you making a difference between the chile and the pakora or the pizza? If everything is prasadam, no, it's absolute. Very simple, the philosophy. This is prasadam. Whatever is offered to the Lord is prasadam. So why are you not accepting? Because you have your reasons. And Prabhupada explained that in perfect question, perfect answer. Yeah. Yeah. So because we are not liberated, so also we have to make distinctions. So, and that applies to everything. Like it will apply to Harinam, to Kirtan. Like a chile for someone who is training music in a different way, what represents a chile for a person who never eat chile and then eat chile and he cannot take the prasadam, although it's prasadam, he has all the potency. It would be like playing the instrument very, very loud, maybe, and that someone feel pains in the ear. It's pain. You know? Like many, have you seen babies? Or, no? Even sometimes in the congregation, they do like this, you know, in the kirtan. They are feeling pain. And so it's pleasing to Krishna, and the devotion is there, but there is something that is not making accessible for everyone. So the Harinam is transcendental, but it's not accessible for some population, not like a little kids, they feel pain, or all people. And again, with everything, the same, the deities, you know, Prabhupada wanted the deities, like here, the devotees worship, you know, with many flowers and opulence, etc. But you can also worship in a very simple way, because it's, as far as you have devotion, it's okay. But again, Srila Prabhupada, understanding that we make differences because we are in the material world, and we still do discriminate between I like this, I like that, etc. He tried to make devotional service pleasing to everyone as far as possible in the way he introduced ISKCON. And so again, we anukulena, making favorable to Krishna, that's a principle. And another principle is that presenting Krishna consciousness in a way that is pleasing to others as far as one capacity one may have, and respecting the acharya, the way the acharya, like Srila Prabhupada, wanted to distribute. And so this is a characteristic that is a principle. So the details in which the service is done, or the service that we are doing, that is changing. But if we try to focus in what devotional service is, in the definition of devotional service, then there is not there won't be a strong need of always changing services to be satisfied in Krishna consciousness. Or we will need it still, because as we understand that we are not perfect, so we have to change. But the service will be always the same. So either you have to play harmonium for the deities, or you have to clean the bathroom. What is the principle? Yes, I'm pleasing who else? And it should be attractive to everyone. So if you can chant a beautiful bhajan, and then when you go and clean the bathroom, you also try to make it beautiful. You clean the bathroom in a way that is very attractive. Someone comes and says, wow, this is amazing. Wow. And then the principle of devotional service is manifesting. It's pleasing. And does it make sense? Not going. If I'm saying something wrong, tell me, because I will need correction. So then, doesn't matter which service we do, but it's how we do it. If we are doing devotional service or not devotional service, then it is anukulena, unmotivated, what we are doing in the service. Again, what is our motivation? So you can change many services, but if you don't change the motivation, it doesn't. You can go on, changing services, but never will achieve the supersedity, the satisfaction. Because the satisfaction is not in the service, in the superficial level of the service, because it's your nature, or because I love painting, so therefore because I paint for Krishna, I'm happy. No, you may be happy because you're painting, but the way you know if you're happy because of devotional service, if you study the definition of devotional service and try to apply it. For instance, I can enter in the temple because I'm a very good painter, and I do a beautiful, just where Subal is there, I do like a Radha Krishna. I start painting Radha Krishna, very beautiful. No? And many people come and they will say, oh, that's an amazing painting. But then Himangi Mataji comes and she says, what do you paint this Radha Krishna there? Well, I don't know, I feel inspiration. Oh, I saw the deity, I was praying, and I just feel that I have to paint it. So who can deny, no? It's a devotional activity. But it is pure devotional service? Why not? Yeah, I paint on, if I paint on the wall without any authorization, I just paint because I just feel like I should paint something for Krishna.
Because there was no guidance.
Yeah, there was no guidance. Commotion. Yes, it's not anushilanam. This is another characteristic of devotional service. Devotional service implies activities that are for pleasing Krishna, but under the direction of the spiritual master of the acharyas. So you can do wonderful service, but are you doing this following some instructions? Like I cannot open a temple if I want. I can go and bring the place. I made my own temple. It's nice. It's devotional service, but it's pure devotional service again. So this instruction that Kashyapa Muni is giving to his wife is he's giving the principles of devotional service to, and therefore it's the best process. Not specifically because it's the Payo Vrata. Just because of that, it's because there are elements of devotional service there. And the process that Sutta Goswami is describing is the same in principle, and Srila Prabhupada in the purport, right, when they say the Sankirtan Yaga. So Sankirtan Yaga is the best process, but not because it implies music necessarily, because Sankirtan Yaga means the principle of devotional service. So therefore, a glorification of Kirtanam is a glorification of Krishna. So a glorification of Krishna, it can be done in many ways. So as you have a Smaranam, remembering Krishna, this is a very important element. So you may be cleaning the bathroom, and that's Kirtanam, if you are doing with the right consciousness. It's a way to glorify the Krishna's temple, or serve devotees. At the same time, you can be remembering Krishna. So all this will never change, like Smaranam, Kirtanam. But the way that we will do the specific rituals, they may change. So the idea is to try by practicing to discover the devotional service in a way that then we will be able to practice any service, because in any service we are practicing devotional service. It doesn't matter the specific. And that, when you read Prabhupada Lilamrita, the way that Srila Prabhupada engaged his disciples at the beginning, they were doing like all kind of activities. Tamal Krishna Maharaj, once he was very, he's sharing in the servant of the servant, and he was very upset at one moment because he was doing a lot of services, many things, like, and he was confused because he was doing studying books of law in Calcutta, because Prabhupada wanted to buy land, etc. So he has to do the lawyer part, and to clean in the bathroom, etc. And there were sannyasis, new sannyasis, who were only chanting in the temple. No? So they were chanting, and he was like, he was saying, okay, there are sannyasis, because I know sannyas, I have to do everything else, because a sannyas is supposed to give up everything and just do chanting, engage. So he shared with Srila Prabhupada, and he said, I'm confused because I'm doing everything and they are only chanting, and it seems that they are only advancing and my consciousness is all over the place. And Prabhupada talking, actually you are the one who is fortunate here, because you are serving Krishna in any way, and they are also serving Krishna, but not they are not being, I'm paraphrasing, not in the idea that Maharaj is in a lecture, I hear that, and also is in the servant of the servant in the book. The idea is that he was serving Krishna without reservation at that moment, because he was doing what the spiritual master Anushilanam was saying, was instructing. And And from the in the material level consciousness, it may be not satisfying, but when Srila Prabhupada gave the instruction, he could understand. He said the satisfaction doesn't come from the specific service itself that you say, oh, I'm enjoying doing this. But it's painful sometimes, but it's enjoyable. Because it's devotional, it's pleasing Krishna. That's the fact that it's pleasing to the Guru, pleasing. So that way, he's like understanding that difference, you know, between the pleasure derived from the activity and the pleasure derived from the principle of devotional service, in which you are focusing and doing in a way that it will be pleasing to Krishna, pleasing to the devotee, and the Guru is under instruction, etc. So it's perfect time. We can finish here, maybe. One question.
Hare Krishna, thank you for your class. You made many points. I have to edit my comments on them. So this is kind of a joke, but it's actually a true statement. It was kind of in regards to Raghata Prabhu's question, which sampradaya is the most powerful one. And before you say anything, it's kind of a joke, but it's a true statement. But in essence, Prabhupada said the most powerful sampradaya is the Maya Sampradaya, the fifth Sampradaya. He says, don't be surprised who goes, be surprised who stays. And Arjuna also says the same thing, Atakina Prayutanyam Papam Chadati Purushaha, Anishanapi Varshanaya Bala Ivinyojitaha. He says, why am I inclined to do sinful activities as if I'm being forced to? In other words, why am I, you know, inclined to the Maya Sampradaya? So that kind of goes to kind of regards to my original question, is that you were mentioned in the beginning of the class that everyone says they have the best religion. And a lot of times people say, you know, there's going to be conflict if there's different religions. But we can even see people within the same religion, it's the same conflicts. Because why the same problems of someone's envious, someone's proud, etc. So my question is essentially is that how do we separate the understanding that the people in a religion doesn't have anything to do necessarily with the religion or philosophy itself, because when people identify the people with the religion, they may see somebody with lack of good character, and this religion is not for me, but actually the philosophy is perfect. The philosophy may be perfect, but a lot of times people, they look at people, they don't have good character, that means everyone in this religion doesn't have good character. Like the Muslims, they're all terrorists and some are terrorists. Or the Christians are jerks, that means every Christian is a jerk. So how can we prevent ourselves from leaving Christian consciousness? Because a lot of times people leave even Christian consciousness because of how somebody treated them. They may have, you know, mistreated them. So how do we distance ourselves the understanding that, you know, the philosophy and the philosophers are kind of different and kind of keep those separated so we won't be unenthusiastic about practicing a particular philosophy?
I don't know if you understood correctly, but from what I understand, the difference between the philosophy here and then how the philosophy is being practiced that may not be appealing to someone or to other. Yes, they may feel that the philosophy doesn't work. But I'll try to be very brief. This is the same in our movement. We have sometimes we may present or understand the philosophy in a way that we say, oh, I cannot practice this, you know, very narrow. And also judge a practitioner because a particular devotee do a specific path, and we think that everyone have to do that, and say I cannot do this because this devotee he has to leave his family in order to go and preach, so I cannot leave my family, so the Hare Krishna is not practical for me. It's a very common, but if you see the whole spectrum, you see that these are particular situations, doesn't have anything to do with the principle of the devotional service. The principle is what the practitioner is applying, the symptom will be different, how is practiced. So again, the answer is that you look in how distinguish the principles and how they are applied, instead of looking for details like in people's life, etc. So if someone is a monk, it's very simple. It doesn't mean that everyone has to be a monk, because we understand the philosophy. This is a social aspect. It's not a spiritual. Social. Varna asram. So it's a spiritual order, but it's within the context of material life. So it's according to something that can change. Everything that can change is not a principle. So everything that doesn't change, like again, anukulina, like praising Krishna, either as a Christian, as a Jew, in any religion, any temple, if you're trying to please Krishna, that's devotional service and can be practiced for everyone. Everyone can do that, independent of the situation that one lives. Okay. Srila Prabhupada ki, Grantara Srimad Bhagavatam ki.